You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Greetings, everyone. Coach Jen here, and thanks for tuning in to Horse Tip Daily, episode 1613. Today's tip features Horse Radio Network founder Glenn the Geek and his co-host Ashley, and they're chatting with Dr. Audrey DeClue about shivers, a problem that's been around for a long, long time, and she's got some interesting new insight.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more featuring top experts including five-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, five-time Olympic show jumper Ann Krasinski, Olympic eventer and silver medalist William Fox Pitt, and more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit EquestrianPlusPLUS.com to subscribe. So we recently had a listener, Wendy, ask us to have someone on the show to talk about shivers. I'm so excited to welcome Dr. DeClue from Ocala, Florida. Audrey is with DeClue Equine LLC and is an equine sports medicine and rehabilitation vet and the host of the Horse First podcast. Welcome to the show, Audrey.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Well, I have to ask you first and foremost, what exactly is shivers? Because to me, this sounds like some Victorian fainting spell disease.
But you should be able to cure it with something out of a bottle that's
with
green.
A tincture.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish, right? So all shivers is just a layman's term for what we see clinically in a horse that looks like they have severe muscle tremors, shivering. But what it really is actually a movement disorder. And a movement disorder involves, it can be part of your brain and spinal cord, like in Parkinson's or like a spinal cord injury where it creates dystonia, where you have muscle contraction caused by a central nervous system problem. Or in the case of shivers, it's nerve damage that leads to kind of a motor dysfunction of your muscles, such as, you know, you'll see muscle weakness or other kind of muscle related problems with dexterity or just movement, like bringing your leg forward or anything. So that's it. It's classified as a movement disorder clinically, and that involves a lot of things, your whole entire body. But it's just differentiating which category is it? Is it in the central nervous system with the brain and spinal cord, or is it outside the spinal cord and brain? And with shivers, we see it in all species. So all equid species. Okay, right. So horses. So that includes donkeys, mules, miniature horses, hackney ponies, any kind of pony, warm bloods, Pasifinos, any type of equine species, we see shivers and clinical signs of string halt in these horses. And the common denominator why we don't classify humans as having, quote, shivering, besides what you just said, is because horses are different than other species because they have a stay apparatus.
Tell me more about this stay apparatus.
So the stay apparatus allows horses to sleep standing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens with horses with shivers is, number one, I have to say, just like with a human, if you have a severe muscle spasm, right, or you have a muscle strain, it is very painful. And these horses actually shiver. They raise their leg, bring it away from their body in their hind legs, and they shiver very severely. I'm a history. I always do a lot of research. And if you just give me one second, I'd like to just give you a little historical perspective about this.
We love history. You are talking to the right people.
Okay. So the veterinary profession was established in Lyon, France in 1761. Okay. Veterinary medicine has been practiced since then, even as far back as 3000 BCE. And in China, they called horse veterinarians actually horse priests, where they used acupuncture and herbs and all that stuff. And so I'm a numbers buff. I'm all about data. And so the veterinary profession has been actually known since 1959 how many veterinarians there have been in the world. And it, if you go from 1959 all the way to 2025, there's been approximately 600,000 vets per year, and which is about 39 million for worldwide since that time. So 4%, 3 to 4% are equine, strictly equine veterinarians, which is about 1.6 veterinarians, okay? In all this time, 1.6 million veterinarians since 1959 to now, and previous, like this doesn't include previous. Nobody's been able to figure this out.
Wow. Horses were the,
yes, this is an interesting fact to me. So in 1880s, there was a guy named William Mitchell and William Williams. In the 1800s to 1930, there were three people, William Williams, William Mitchell, and J.R. McCall.
Oh, thank God the third one wasn't a William. I was going to lose my mind.
I know, right? When I was doing the research, it's really interesting. So these guys actually wrote, and it's, you can look it up and find it. They published their thoughts on what's causing shivers and string halt in horses. And their hypothesis, I didn't find this out until I'd already been treating horses for years. They had the same hypothesis that I did without knowing what the cause was. And so what happened was, as the Industrial Revolution started, second Industrial Revolution, there's cars and everything else, mm-hmm. the amount of shivers and string halt, which was they considered as common as dirt, started dropping off. Well, as the sport horse industry started coming into prevalence in the 1980s, so did the amount of shivers and string halt, that especially shivers that we saw in sport horses. And then in the 2000s, when the sport horse industry is at its becoming at its highest peak, 2010, mm-hmm. that's when people are like, we got to figure this out. So what happened was there was a paper that came out in 2015 called and the title of the paper is The Equine Movement Disorder Shivers is Associated with Selective Cerebellar Purkinje Cell Axonal Degeneration. I know that sounds confusing. The first time I read the paper, I was like, oh my God, I can't read this. But what it means is that they're saying that the cause of shivers in horses is in the cerebellum.
Which is the part of the brain that controls more motor function.
Correct. But it was only over 5 shivers horses.
So a very small sample size.
Right. And it wasn't even the phenotype of the horses that they say have shivers, which is draft horses and big horses. It was 4 warm bloods and 1 thoroughbred. Mm. But the thing is, if you're a veterinarian and even if you're a doctor, right, anyone, the 1.6 million veterinarians that are veterinarians since 1959 to the current, everybody knows, they should know at least, the cerebellum does not directly move muscles. It doesn't control muscles. What it does instead, it's like this little control center, right? That coordinates voluntary movements, which means, you see what I mean? Like it refines mm-hmm. your movements. It's like this fine tuning little thing, like how we used to do the ears on the television, right? To get a channel in.
Right.
That's what it does. It doesn't switch the channels or it doesn't, right? It just fine tunes. And the not only just fine tuning it, but the sequencing of the muscle contractions, which helps you with your balance, with your posture, and also with motor learning. So if the cerebellum is damaged, it only affects motor coordination, which means you don't walk, you don't have good balance. If you're human, you slur your speech, you have, besides if you drink alcohol, that's not the cause, but, you know, but also motor tremors, like you would have tremors. So mm-hmm. if it's a horse, okay, that has shivers, the thing is that if it's a cerebellar lesion, it affects the entire body. So shivers horses usually have shivers in one leg. So how can it be a cerebellar lesion?
Huh.
Uh-huh. And even if it... If
okay, you're asking it, more questions than you're answering here, Doc.
I know. These questions are logical. And so if, say, for example, you know, it's in the cerebellum, your control center of your fine motor movement, and that affects your entire body, there's no possible way that a shivers horse that has it in one leg could be in the cerebellum.
So we're, before we run out of time, though, I got to find out, is there any treatment at all?
Yes. But most importantly, Glenn, what is the cause?
Yeah, I don't know that we have time to get into that.
Well, we need to, just real briefly.
Okay.
So the cause is the iliopsoas muscle. And the iliopsoas is the tenderloin that we eat, the filet mignon. And it's the only muscle under the spine.
Okay.
And that muscle has a thick iliac fascia that compresses, when it's injured, compresses the ventral nerve roots coming off the spinal cord, or the plexus, which is goes back to the electrical part, the wiring. And that is what is responsible for creating the clinical signs. And to answer your question, yes, there is a treatment, but it's not a cure, right? If these horses are injured, a lot of horses have iliopsoas injuries, but they don't have shivers clinical signs. And so the difference is that there's nerve damage versus non-nerve damage. So just the muscles involved, the iliopsoas is involved, versus the iliopsoas with swelling pushing up on the nerves and compressing the nerves. So one is just a muscle problem. The other is a muscle with a nerve problem creating the clinical signs.
Being a person who has nerve problems, I hate to hear that because they're so difficult to make better.
So that's the thing. It's a very good point, Glenn. So this is a management issue. If I can treat the horses as soon as they develop the clinical signs of shivers or string halt, I can pretty much, quote, get rid of the clinical signs. But for months and months and months, as you know, for months and months, I have to treat the nerve problem because there's nerve damage, which takes a very long time to heal. So this is a
management issue. And is that reducing inflammation? Is that how you do it?
Yes, it's all ultrasound-guided technique, and okay. I'm actually with another couple of veterinarians. We're working on a surgical technique for horses that have chronic, quote, shivers clinical signs. And so the thing is, the good news is, there is a treatment, but it is not a cure, right, there, except for acute cases.
You're just making them more comfortable, basically.
Not just comfortable, but yes, you're calming the nervous system down and you're getting rid of the spasm in the iliopsoas. And so then you can manage these things, right? And the horses can live a healthy life.
And are they productive after that? They can compete and everything or not?
They're competing even with shivers, okay. Glenn.
Yeah.
The thing is this is always progressive, as you know. If you don't take care of a neuro problem, it's always progressive, right? It doesn't get better without you doing something about it. So that's what I mean. That is the good news for this. The history is just the history. But it's also to realize that nobody else has figured this out. And I, unfortunately, when that paper came out in 2015, I had to do something. Or, Glenn, nobody would know who I am.
Yeah.
I did this to save these horses. And I could not believe that the veterinary profession accepted that paper as the gold standard. And so that's
okay. The person that wrote it can't even believe it.
No, they can, because they're still believing it.
No, but I meant you couldn't believe it. You were like, I can't believe they accepted that. I mean, that says something.
No, that's exactly right, Glenn. That's why I could not believe that this is possible, right? Which is why people know who I am, which is why I started the podcast.
By the way, that's called the Horse First Podcast. I wanted to give a plug in there, and you can find it on all your podcast players. That's where I found it. And it's also on your website, which is declue-equine.com. So, so to wrap it up, you're controlling it at this point. If we're going to control those spasms and all of that, it's done through medication or
it's
both?
It's a treatment technique, yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's an ultrasound-guided treatment technique developed. Yeah. So, and I'm training, I'm traveling, training, teaching veterinarians It's not something everybody can do, right? It's very technical.
Do most of the vets have the ultrasound machine they need to do it? I know they have ultrasound machines, but do they have it?
Not everybody, no. Okay. So that's part of the issue. It's, you know, not everybody is going to be able to do it. But I can teach people about it, which is my goal. I'm working on a couple papers to get published here. So, you know, I lived in my own little perfect bubble, and unfortunately now I'm outside of my little bubble, and, you know, all I care about is the horses and helping them and managing an injury that can be prevented and treated and managed. But that's what's important to me, instead of everybody believing that there's nothing they can do. Because the truth is, people believe there's no hope. And I had to step outside of my bubble and give people hope that these horses can be fixed and treated. And that's my main objective.
Well, good for you, because it sounds like not too many others believe that. So, I mean, that's, you know, we have enough problems with horses, let alone ones that we think we can't fix that maybe could be at least managed, right? So,
correct.
Yeah.
And it's the prevention, and we didn't go into that, which is not important, but it is prevention too, which is what I try to educate veterinarians on. So, but my goal is always, you know, putting the horse first.
I'm sure you've covered this on your show, right? So,
yes.
The Horse First podcast is where you can find it. Where are you located?
Ocala, Florida.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Sounds good. You're right down the street from me, and it's Declue, DECLUE-equine.com is the website. And you actually, you'll find the podcast on there too, and all the other information. We do appreciate you joining us today. Thanks for Claire. I hope Wendy, you know, has some context now and maybe can ask her veterinarian about it too.
Well, there you have it. Horse Radio Network has thousands of engaging podcasts for horse people, and you can have them sent right to your phone. Just subscribe via your favorite podcast player. This is Coach Jen, and I will be back again soon with another tip. Until then, go ride your horse. The Horse Radio Network and the Horse Radio Network hosts are not responsible for statements made by guests on the Horse Tip Daily. Please use your own judgment when listening to the tips on this show.